I thought you needed a laugh. Now, I'm not going to ask you this question. I'm not going to say, what's wrong with Mr. B? I'm going to ask you the question, what's wrong with that church? And you get a chance to answer that in a few minutes. But I have gone to a few churches where I definitely said, this is not for me. And you know, most people make up that decision in the first 7 minutes or 10 minutes or when they walk through the church. Do you think Mr. B is going to come back to that church? Not likely. My wife said, I have asked different people, you know, what were some of the first experiences in church? And for the most part, there is an expectation when they come that there is somebody who will actually take care of them, that actually will greet them and make them feel special. Hospitality, it means you make somebody feel special. If you have somebody at your house, what do you do? Do you ignore them? No. You make them feel special. You put them at the table. You give them something to drink. There is a... And in some cultures, they are exceptionally good at it. I was in Kenya. And I was in this house. It was a hut. And it was straw hut. And it was probably packed in there almost 60 people. I don't know how they fit them in there. And it was dark. And there was one little candle on the table. And I had shared a little bit. And Edith had shared a little bit. And we had prayed for some people. And suddenly I feel something around my legs. I feel something. An animal. And I can't see it because it's dark. It's completely dark except for that little light over there. I can't see it. And then suddenly I look down and there is a woman crawling between the legs, chasing this animal. After the service, I realized what she was doing. There was a chicken. And it was running around on the floor and she was chasing it. And at the end of the service, she came up to me and said, squawk, 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 squawk. Here, Holly, it's a chicken. Of course, they don't have fridges or coolers, so the only way they can give you some is simply alive. And I looked at Edith and said, what do I do now? He said, just throw it in the back of the car, and we'll eat it tomorrow. But they had an amazing... That was probably her wealth that she gave away. Because he wanted to honor me as a stranger, a visitor, but a stranger. So I'm just saying, as a church, we need to embrace visitors with the same kind of a culture of hospitality. Jesus shares, Matthew 25, at the judgment seat. He talks about who's going to be rewarded at the end of the age. And there's a king, and he blesses those who were righteous and says, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you watered me. When I was naked, you clothed me. And when I was in need, you brought me home. And they said, when did we ever do that? And this is what he says. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for... When you show hospitality, my friends, and invite people in, you are actually inviting Jesus. Amen. Last Sunday, I shared this parable that Jesus also shares, which is powerful. And it's Luke 14. And it's a master who set up, who has a banquet. And he invites people to come to his banquet. And some of you remember the story. He sends his servants out, go and invite them in. And they go and invite them in. But what happens is they have excuses. Many excuses. I just got married, so I don't have time to come to the banquet. I just bought some land. I go and look at the land, and on it goes with excuses. And then the master says, well, go back out there and invite the blind, the lame, the what? The poor, the crippled, to come. And so who are these people that are lame and blind and crippled? And they are the ones in need. Go invite them in. Back then, those who are lame and crippled, they considered them sinners. There must be a curse on them. And so Jesus is saying, go invite the sinners. Bring them in. Bring them in. How many know some people who are in need? Nobody. Bring them in. Bring them in. And then the servants came and said, there is still room. Look around here. Is there still room in the church today? Yes. He says, now go into highways and the hedges and find them and bring them in until it's full. Why would we bring them in? Why would I invite them? What is this banquet, my friends? What is this banquet? Christianity is one great invitation. That's Christianity. It's an invitation to come to a banquet table of His very presence. If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will never be hungry and thirsty again. Amen. I actually believe that this church has something to offer. I don't know about you, but there is little kids downstairs who's being fed the Word of God. Many of those kids will be taught something completely different in the world. I believe we have amazing worship. It pleases God when we lift up His name in worship. I believe there is love in this place. I believe God is in this place. So why not invite people? When you get an invitation, there's usually an RSVP. Response, s'il vous plaît. That's French, I think. When am I supposed to respond? As quickly as possible. When am I supposed to respond to the gospel? Before you die. Before you die. How many believe that the invitation that God extends to all of us is indeed a matter of life and death? So when you get an invitation, there are three things you're looking for. Number one, who sent it? Who is it for? And third one is, what's it all about? And there's a scripture that answers all these three. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes shall not perish but have eternal life. So who is it from? It's God. It's from Jesus. He's the creator of the universe. He's sending an invitation. And who is it for? The whole world. He decides that no one shall perish but everyone that come to the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. Sorry. What's it about? For God so loved the world that no one shall perish, but all shall have eternal life. Amen. How many think that's an amazing invitation? I was at Roundup yesterday, invited to come and minister or meet a transgender. I called him he, she called him she. But I asked him, what can I call you? And he said, you call me that. He was a broken man. And I said to him, did you have any experience with Christianity? He said, well, I was adopted from a reserve, and they brought me to Worldwide Church of God. Is that what it's called? He said, it was horrible. Sorry for disappointing you, but he said, I felt horrible. And so I did not have a good experience with Christianity. So I said to him, I said, I don't really, in my heart, it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what you have done. But I want to tell you there is a Jesus who probably has been very misrepresented to you through religion. How many has come across people who have misrepresented Jesus? Who should have loved, but they abused. Who should have extended hands and invitation, but they manipulated and controlled and were not Jesus to them. And I said to him, I shared my testimony. I said, the Jesus that I know came for everyone who is broken, who's blind, who's crippled. And he wants to invite you. He wants to invite you into a relationship. And he said to me, Hans, I'll be honest with you, I feel so empty on the inside. I know the feeling. How many knows that feeling? And I said, there is only one who can feel that in you. And I said, my experience with transgender and homosexuals and lesbians, they actually struggle deeply with identity crisis. And he said, oh yeah, that's me. It's like I have two spirits. I said, Jesus wants to bring peace to you. And so can I pray for you? And I prayed for him. Now, he doesn't live here. If he did, I would have brought him today. But this man needed not judgment, but he needed somebody to embrace him. My friends, what I just shared is crucial. Because I have seen Christians come up to people when they come through the doors and they want to fix them. Oh, you got to, oh, yeah, I see you're divorced. Or, oh, I see you, oh, you, well, you can't be like that. Excuse me? The invitation is to a God who transforms and heals and takes people from the darkness and brings them into hope. It's not me. It is the Holy Spirit through the power of His Word. And my friends, our job is to invite. Amen. I'm going to stop. So I want us to go out there around the tables and ask some questions and just take about 20 minutes, 25 minutes. And if there's not enough room out of those rooms, tables, just turn those chairs on the back row there around and go through those questions. Part of it is, I want us to learn how to talk about Jesus, about our faith. At the end of it, we'll come in here, have communion, and we'll pray together. Now hear me. There is nothing that a newcomer fears the most is rejection. So as soon as we go out there, there's going to be some people who stands and look, where am I supposed to sit? Look and bring them to your table. Don't let them stand there wondering, where do I fit? They fit. They fit at your table. Don't look at just, I'm going to have my friends around my table. Look at the people who needs to be at your table. Bring them in. A newcomer comes and they fear being rejected. And they fear the unknown. Be the hands and feet of Jesus. Amen. Let's go and do it.